The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
It's All-Ireland Final Week. Anything to say, boys?
No, it's great to be here. It's great.
How would you stop?
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Basically at Healy Park, just to give this a little bit of context before we play the clip, because it may seem a little bit random, but it was essentially a sound check for what was the Tyrone music car. And I've been told that this music car is a big thing that is part of the Tyrone match day. It drove in front of the team bus in the 2018 final, and on Garda Síochána down below weren't too happy with the fact that they had essentially given, they'd cordoned off roads and stuff for what they thought was a team bus, but actually it was just this music car that was driving around. So it was there in Healy Park last night. They were getting the records up and running and giving it a bit of a lash last night. It was a totally sort of random evening where you're chatting to random punters, but then you're also chatting to people like Peter Canavan, who was there last night as well. And then, as I mentioned earlier on, we went out to Ard Bow to speak to Patsy Hagan, who has written and performed a couple of poems, especially for this year's All-Ireland Final. And it doesn't hurt as well that it's on the shores of the biggest lake in Ireland. So it's a glorious setting.
It's beautiful. Let's take a look at some of the build-up.
Not only is it the biggest day maybe in the GAA calendar, it's the biggest day in the Irish sporting calendar for many. And, you know, it's not every year thrown in the All-Ireland Final, and what it does do, it brings back memories of your own days playing, and you know, how privileged we were, first of all, to get that opportunity to play. I know before me, there's a lot of men put in so much effort and didn't get that opportunity. So, look, I know what the boys are going through. I know what it means to them. And, you know, just for anybody that's involved in the GAA up here, it's certainly special times. And we just have to make the most of it. We've lost one or two as well, and I know what that's like. So it's important we get over the line. But look, we didn't expect to be here in the first place. And we're enjoying the crack and the buzz that comes with the razzmatazz that comes with an All-Ireland Final. And we'll let the boys knuckle down and get on with the hard work.
We are standing now in the old cross of Ard Bow, the ancient ruins there beside us, the chapel, the old church. The cross you'll see as you come back down again, 18 feet high. My back here is to the loch. Loch Ness, it's about 22 mile long by about 8 mile wide. You know, and it touches five counties. So it's a place of great history, you know, a lot of history to this place. We're talking about Derry, Antrim, County Down. There's only a couple of shorelines of County Down. Armagh, and of course Tyrone. Them four counties, their biggest shorelines would touch it. They say there's only a couple, maybe three shorelines in County Down that touches the loch here. But as I say, it's a place that people come here in the evening time just for peace of mind, you know. There's something about it. You know, and I live beside it, and people that would visit here, they'd say, as a most part, you take this place for granted. I don't. I think it's a beautiful place, you know, especially in the evening time. You get a nice evening, you couldn't want to be be in a nicer place, you know.
Well, I was excited, you know, 2018, the fact it got there, but we probably knew it was going to take a massive performance for us to beat Dublin, and Dublin to be well below par. This is different. We beat one of the favourites to get here now, and we're up against the Mayo side, and there's very little. I know they are slight favourites in the bookies, but there's very little. I see it, and most people see it as a 50-50 game. So you have a real possibility of winning it. So I suppose that is exciting, or, you know, from our point of view as well.
It's going to be one hell of a final between Tyrone and Mighty Mayo. If I could get me hands on a ticket, be God, I believe I would go. They are two of my favourite counties. Tyrone, of course, coming first. Though them Mayo lads can play football, but there's a rumour that they have been cursed. Oh, it's maybe only a rumour and someone is spreading a lie. They say that Sam will elude them till some owl crater this day. So God, I'm asking a favour, if there's a chance this rumour is true, if this old fella's still with us, God spare him another week, maybe two.
The atmosphere in Tyrone this week is unbelievable. I can't believe what I'm looking at. With when I pass two different wee villages and see so many flags and emblems up and wishing all the Tyrone lads all the best. It's fantastic to see, and it's so juvenile that I've been driving through so many villages and I can't believe what I'm looking at. So I come down through Omagh tonight and the St Enda's lads put up all the flags and it's just unbelievable to see it. We're going to have a great day on Saturday.
Do you just leave Dara alone all week?
Absolutely. He doesn't listen much to what I say. He keeps to himself anyway, so there's no problems in that front. He's definitely not overcoached. And he's in with a great setup. There's a lot of good coaches in the Tyrone setup at the minute, and there's a lot of instruction being given when they go to training sessions, so he doesn't need to listen to any more when he comes home.
It's going to be tough opposition. Our boys will be put to the test. For those boys, they showed they're no slouches, them buckles that come from the west. For the Dubs, they thought they'd roll over, but Mayo simply would not. Six in a row, as far as you'll go. You must be content with your lot. And there's not a team in the country could have done what them fellas did do. Defied all the odds in the bookies and conquered that army of blue.
I'm very proud, and I'm very proud of Fergal Logan and Brian Doher. They've done a fantastic job, and them only in the job a short time. But they have a lot of experience, and they've played great football themselves. So they have been round the mill several times, and they're great lads to lead a team. I would just love to be on the team.
Now, our boys took care of the kingdom. Another team that shouldn't be beat. Spillane needs to watch his blood pressure, for he's getting himself into a state. He's more concerned about COVID, who has a jab, and the ones that have not. I swear, the way he's behaving, the man, he's losing the plot. Now, he knows his stuff about football, but there's a wee fact he seems to forget. While Logan, for sure, is one couture, but his mate is a well-qualified vet. For he has our men on ball steroids. They're out grazing now as we speak. Forget about 70 minutes, them boys could run for a week. Now, if some of our players start mooing or growing wee horns in their head, Duker's to blame, but it's all part of the game. It's all the strange food that they're fed. And our Lingus are complaining about Morgan. His long kicks, why they're going so high, they think it's a shame during the game their pilots has refused for to fly.
I've said from last week to now that I couldn't make my mind up regarding a winner. I don't see any between the sides. When you try and break down advantages and disadvantages, some teams have an advantage. One team has an advantage in one area, the other in the other. And besides, it's Mayo we're talking about, and they don't do anything in a straightforward manner. So if they're ahead by a few points going down the closing stretch, you can see them allowing Tyrone the opportunity to come back at them. And Tyrone haven't been good at closing out games. We struggle against Monaghan, we struggle against Kerry. We nearly let a 5-point lead slip. So I see a few big calls being made at the end, and there could be very little to separate them, and we might have to come back the following week to decide the winner.
On your red hands, where your dedicated fans, show, for we're going to bring the sound back home again, for we're going to bring the sound back home again.
But that's enough of the nonsense. A big flag now has to be made. The wife says she's got me a ticket and the bed and breakfast is paid. So we're heading off to Dublin. We're supporting Tyrone, as you know. And if we're a bit, sure, we'll still celebrate with those gallant lads from Mayo. Come on, Tyrone.
That is absolutely cracking stuff. I really enjoyed that poem particularly. I think that's some of Owen's best work there that he's done over the last few weeks. Bit of a flavour of what was going on in Omagh last night across Lochnea. Obviously, that poem was off the charts. The line, "Our boys took care of the kingdom," they said they couldn't be bait, I think might have been amongst my favourite. It was a cracker on. He was in top form.
Yeah, he was. And Pat Blan getting yet another dig from the people of Tyrone via poem form this time. If there's, what's the Simpsons meme, the "stop, he's already dead" meme, that's Pat Blan on the ground and the county of Tyrone huddled around him and they just will not stop. And you know what? He gave them enough of it, I think, in the build-up to the semi-final.
Loved it. What was his name?
That was Patsy Hagen out in Ardbow. But I said earlier on that it's the same club as the McGuigans. Crucially, not the same club as the McGuigans. The same sort of parish, but a different club. So in case Patsy Hagen is listening, I apologise for that. Different club, same area.
He'll be watching us on. He'll be out enjoying the view around Lochnea this morning. It sounds cracking. Come here, just obviously in relation to the team and reading a little bit about the dynamic of it and how they come about. And there's a lot of stock been put in the 2017 Sigerson team. There's like 10 players in the squad that came through that. And obviously the facilities and this is not by chance that all this stuff has come about.
Absolutely not. And we'll hear about that in our next piece this morning, that this is a really well thought out, well planned setup. And I think it does kind of go back to the 2000s a little bit. That really gave the county the belief that not only can they contend, but they can be the best team in the country and sustain that for a period of time. That necessary sense of superiority, which led to a lot of resources being poured into the county, which led to the development of the Garabahi complex, which led to a really well thought out plan. There was actually a question last night at that roadshow in Healy Park about, I'm not sure if they come to the conclusion, but they think that every single member of this backroom team is from Tyrone. It's very hard to kind of decipher because backroom teams are so ginormous, but they think that every single member of the backroom team is actually from the county. So this is an entirely self-sustained charge that they've made this year. We'll hear from Damien in just a moment, who's the coaching officer, but he makes the point that it's so important about keeping your coaches in-house and making no bones about the fact that when Ryan McMenamin is coaching in Fermanagh, when Peter Canavan is coaching in a different county, that it's okay to feel a little bit jealous about that. It is okay to think, how do we get Peter Canavan back? How do we get Ryan McMenamin back? It's been a big theme for a lot of counties over the last 7 years about, do we appoint an external manager or do we try and appoint somebody who knows the county a little bit more? Tyrone have certainly gone for the latter and it's worked a treat, really.
Yeah. Kerry have been doing it for years, obviously. It strikes me that Brian Swanson had those purple things going on a couple of years ago. You've got every local business around the Omagh area driving their vans past you now with a little bit of branding. And sure, listen, why wouldn't you? It's the week for it. Right, you've mentioned Damien Harvey, coaching officer with Tyrone GAA, and you were chatting to him last night.
Okay, we are here in one of the dressing rooms in Healy Park with Tyrone GAA coaching officer, but more importantly, friend of the pod, Golf Weekly, fully paid subscriber, Damien Harvey. How are you getting on?
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to the new deal on the pod for next year. I hear it's going to be very, very competitive. I'm a wee bit worried that Nathan isn't going to make the cut, but given the fact that he declared a handicap of about 29 or something the other day, so once he's down to mid-teens, we'll maybe get him out in one of these big competitions.
Between Mayo and Tyrone, Nathan Murphy has come up in conversation so much, so I think we've stroked his ego enough. We do want to talk to you about this Tyrone team. For a lot of people on the outside looking in, Damien, this is a team that have kind of come from nowhere, but from the inside looking in, I presume you saw this coming.
Well, I think it's fair to say that obviously with the change in management, the expectation levels would have been there, hopefully to win an Ulster Championship in the near future. They've done that in year one, and this is very much seen as a brand new project within their own. So it was brilliant to get the Ulster Championship. Brilliant to retain status in Division 1, but to get to an All-Ireland final, I think, is probably beyond expectations, actually, this year, given the fact that these guys are, the management team are just on the scene. But obviously, the lads have fully bought into it, and All-Ireland final, and it's a brilliant occasion and a real fillip for the whole county.
What is your strategy from a coaching officer's standpoint, then, to ensure that this is the beginning of something?
Well, I suppose that would have, it's unending because obviously we're looking at what we're going to be trying to do with our academy teams this winter, try to get them up and running. Obviously, we give a lot of time to the clubs this year. We didn't take out any of the lads, underage lads, this year at all, bar the Tyrone minors. So we'll definitely be looking at a strategy over the winter to try and get the academies back up and running again. But obviously, there's a few things we need to put in place structurally and probably financially in order to make that happen. People think there's an unending conveyor belt of talent in Tyrone. That's not always the case. You have to work really, really hard, as we've seen all our counties do. And, you know, none more so than us, because it's all right having a team in the All-Ireland final, but there has to be another generation coming behind it, or else you're going to be in the doldrums for a while after.
Can you try and explain how you manage to ensure that? What are the practical steps you take to try and ensure that there is a generation coming behind us?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the quality of coaching that you put in and the calibre of people that you have involved. Academy Tyrone, under the sort of new restructure a few years ago, put really good quality people in. Some of them have drifted away, and it's important that we look for, you know, another... or some of the same guys actually to return. I know that there's conversations ongoing around that at the minute, and we want to try and attract a really high calibre of coach back into the system, and that means some of those are ex-county men, and some of them are just really, really good coaches, and that's what it's about. It's about making sure that the clubs, when they look at the coaching that's available in the Tyrone GA, realise that it's a higher calibre than, you know, as high a calibre as possible. And if you can do that and you can put that structure in place, you've got a chance.
That's really interesting, because that is a theme that a lot of counties are grappling with at the moment, the idea of appointing external managers. There's sort of an instant gratification element to it. Sometimes it leads to real success. Is there a real case to be made, though, that trying to appoint coaches from within the system does lead to longer-term benefits?
Absolutely, it has to. You see the current Tyrone setup at the minute. You know, the likes of Colly Holmes, Joe McMahon in the background, helping out with Fergal and Brian. That's what it's all about. Peter Donnelly, ex-county player as well, involved in the strength and condition, doing an absolutely superb job. And that's the quality that you want involved. And I suppose when the clubs in Tyrone see that, and when the young players see that, then that's what it's about. Going external is the easy route, but I know a number of counties, you know, feel that they have to do that to get themselves up the ladder. But here in Tyrone, it's about trying to develop from within. And we know that there's enough quality players who have taken the jersey, got out onto the field and done it in the past. And who better to learn from than those guys? That's what it's all about.
The thing is, there's obviously only one senior manager's job. When people like Ryan McMenamin or Peter Canavan are coaching, as I don't want to just pick out from other managers here, but they're the two that come to mind, do you try and tap into what they're learning from another county? Do you make long-term appeals to them to try and come back within the fold? Or how does that dynamic work?
Absolutely, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to attract these guys back into the system again. But obviously they need to see that there's a longer-term structure in place, and that there's opportunities to go in and maybe take an academy team and develop into maybe taking a Tyrone minor team, an under-21 team, and maybe someday take the senior team as well. They need to be able to see that, and maybe we haven't been as good as we could have been with that in the past. And certainly, before you can attract that quality coach, you need to ensure that there's a system in place. We're grappling a wee bit of that at the minute, and we have to get that right. Once we get that right, we'll have a chance, and then we can start, you know, looking at the next generation coming behind. Obviously, good strides made in the last couple of years in terms of getting the Tyrone minors into an All-Ireland final this year again, which was a very important step for us. And the fact under-21s won the Ulster Championship recently. That too doesn't pass either. So those are really, really important building blocks and building stones for the future. And that's what we're trying to achieve. But we're grappling to make sure that we get these boys recycled back into the system, because we want them going out to. We're more than happy for them to go out to other counties for a while, but we need them here. We need them back, and we're mad keen to get them back.
Yeah, and I don't know, there's no shame in saying that either. People sometimes dance around that subject, and I think it's pretty obvious that people would love all these greats of the game to come back. It's interesting that you mentioned the underage success. Saturday is the 2015 under-21 champions against the 2016 under-21 champions, so Mayo and Tyrone, there's a similarity there in terms of bringing that generation through. Is there anything you've learned down through the years in terms of stuff that works and stuff that doesn't work when you're taking through a crop of talented youngsters?
Well, I don't think you can look for immediate success with them. Obviously, even from the way they've changed the minor system, a lot of people disagree with, and I disagree with myself, the fact that it's under 17, it's the step up from 17 to maybe even 20, to under 20, and certainly into senior, you don't make that step anymore. Very rarely do you see a 17-year-old step into a senior jersey at 18 years of age. So that dynamic, or that getting that preparation of a senior team, does take time to develop, and you're only seeing these guys really start to come together now. It's taken probably 6 years, you know, since that All-Ireland title, but now you're seeing a very mature and developed footballer, and you know there's another generation coming pushing at their heels as well, and you know, like Conor McKenna coming back in from Australia is a massive boost for the county as well. Delighted to see him. The fact that Cathal McShane opted against going to Australia to play for Tyrone shows you that the esteem in which that county jersey does still hold for our players, and I think it's incumbent upon somebody that's involved in any county board, or particularly our own county board, to try and do everything they can to work to keep these lads, you know, still at that same level. Because I think sometimes we can take it for granted, but the amount of workload that those guys have to go through, you know, to get to play at this level is really, really, it's hard work, and we have to be as supportive as possible.
Can I ask then, out of curiosity, Fergal Logan and Brian Duher, how much autonomy do they have in terms of overhauling the system, bringing in coaches? Do they have final say on everything? Because again, if you're looking at other counties, we often hear stories of county boards imposing what they want on a management.
No, Fergal Logan and Brian Duher are appointed, and it's their job to put the structures in place that they need to deliver for Tyrone. And you know, I think the county board try and stay out of it as much as possible, but I'm sure then when the finance sheets are looked at, there may be people with other opinions. But ultimately, it's the job of the Tyrone senior management team to put the structure in place around them that's required to deliver. And that's what Fergal and Logan and Brian Duher seem to have done, well, they have done at this stage, because they've got us through to All-Ireland final. And as far as we're concerned, it's bonus territory.
When it comes to centre of excellences, then I think Garvahy is probably the most famous one in the country. I don't know why that is, but it's a phenomenal facility. There's no question about that. How do you utilise that to the best of its ability, and how do you ensure that you get the best out of your coaches with that sort of facility?
Well, it is. It's a remarkable facility, and it's taken a lot of hard effort and work and a good bit of vision to try and get it put in place. I suppose a lot of that credit must go to our fundraising committee, Club Tyrone fundraising committee, who have gone out and lifted significant sums of money from people all around the world. Tyrone people who have put their hands in their pockets and have supported Tyrone GA and put that building and put that facility in place. But I suppose the really important thing is that everybody feels a buy-in into it. And I think sometimes people can look at it and say, well, that's just not for me. It's not my part of the GA, or it doesn't feel like my part of the GA. So there's a body of work, again, we need to do from our perspective to make people realise that facility that's at Garvahy is for everyone, not just the extraordinary player. It's for all our players. And there's work to be done, there's no doubt about that. But in the meantime, you know, we have an excellent facility up there that we can take our county teams. And this year, thankfully, it was passed earlier in the year that the ladies and Camogues now you also use that facility free of charge, which is fantastic. And in this age of equality, that's exactly what you want.
Do club teams get in there, like pre-COVID?
No, the club teams. Some club teams would have been using it just as a facility to maybe train pre-season and so on. But in the main, it's mainly a county facility, and you know we should be able to. We should be opening it up to more people. That's something that has to be tackled and sorted out, because we do want to open it up as much as possible. And I suppose whenever people are coming up with dropping off kids for academy teams and so on, we want them to feel as you know that's their building, and it is their building. It's not a management committee or a Tyrone GA county committee building. It's a building for the Gaels of Tyrone and Ulster in terms of a wider use, because obviously we want it to be used for schools, Ulster schools competitions as well.
Very interesting. Well, Damien, it was great chatting to you. Do you think Tyrone are going to do it on Saturday?
Ach, listen, I was listening to your conversations last week about the power rankings, and I know Gerard Gilroy was on having a chat with you as well, trying to convince you that...
never listed Gerard Gilroy's rule number one.
That Tyrone should probably be a little higher than fourth, and Kerry would have been second. You know what? We're just delighted to be there, and so we'll see how it goes.
They might even be up to number one if they win on Saturday.
Do you know what? I have a feeling I'll never be number one with you on, but sure, we'll see. We'll see. Gerry, you're right. I think Tyrone GA, Tyrone, definitely team of the noughties, team of the decade.
We will not open that kind of worms right now because I want to get out of here alive. Great to chat to you, Damien. Thanks a million.
All the best. Thanks.
You'll have no choice on but to lash them up there on come Monday morning. You'll have no option if they win it. It'll be a big jump.
Yeah, well, like we never really, because there was obviously an actual game to talk about a couple of weeks ago, but Pat Spillane jumping ship on the whole team of the decade thing pre the Kerry Tyrone game was an absolute disgrace. Like, I mean, I understand why he did it, because he wanted to butter up Sean Kavanagh before laying into the team, or he wanted to show some sort of balance in his Tyrone view. But that was an absolute disgraceful abandoning of all his values, I thought, and I don't think that got enough airtime.
Have you been waiting till, like, you're standing in the middle of a moment to bring up this conversation?
That's a good point. Probably, like, I mean
I'm happy to get into it. Let's get into it if you want.
we leave that one off.
Come here. One thing I wanted to mention, it sort of struck me listening to the conversation there with Damien, that the structure that had been put in place, and like you were saying about the influence of the managers that are there, it shouldn't detract, obviously, from the fact that, like, it now looks like the parting of the ways with Mickey Hart also was a bit of a masterstroke. Like, it wasn't a universal, this is definitely going to work for them. The two lads come in and they have a bit of experience, obviously, at the underage and a bit of club, but this is a huge step up. The structures that have been put in place are very important, and they will obviously serve the development of players and the progress of the team generally, we'd assume, particularly with that facility, but not to detract from what the two lads have brought to the party.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think that you can't really make an argument against the fact that it was the right decision to move past the Mickey Hart era. Like, even when you listen to someone like Sean Kavanagh speak, there is the sense of regret that maybe it didn't happen a little bit sooner, and that this sort of transition didn't happen maybe during his last couple of years. But then again, Mickey Hart was coming up against the greatest team of all time, and even with Dewar and Logan at the helm, things wouldn't have gone any differently in terms of the All-Ireland medal count. So the timing of these lads coming in is also perfect, let's not forget. It is a great time to be coming in to any setup at the top tier of intercounty football, because you know that there may be an easier All-Ireland feud than there would have been during the peak Jim Gavin over Dublin era. But it's not taking away anything from what Dewar and Logan have done. They have reinvigorated certain players that looked like they were dead when it came to their intercounty careers under Mickey Hart. They have discovered players that we hadn't heard of before, and I think that they deserve huge credit for the way they've managed to tap into all different areas of the county as well. There's such a spread of different clubs across the team. The same goes for Mayo, in fairness. And I think actually when we get into the analysis of this game, there are so many similarities between what Dewar and Logan are doing and what James Horan has tried to do, especially during his second stint in charge.
Yeah, and whether or not the two lads pull off Stephen Kenny and include Derek Canavan at the weekend, I presume, is a big talking point as well. Seems to be a lot of nods from Mark Bradley, though.
I think so. And I think the Derek Canavan shout, that was Andy on the football pod, wasn't it?
It was Andy, and Stephen Ratchford is talking about it in the Star this morning as well, yeah.
Right, okay. That's
or Paddy, it might have been, actually, yeah.
That is interesting, because I guess when it comes down to the analysis, and it's going to be interesting to see what the lads are thinking in quick picks later on, but it is an impossible one to call. But yeah, one of the reasons why it's an impossible one to call is that it's impossible to know what curveballs are going to be played. And really, is it a curveball if Derek Canavan starts? I mean, it's hard to pick Tyrone's starting team anyway. Nobody really knows what's going to happen anyway. So maybe it is so up in the air that every ball we're going to see is a curveball anyway. I don't know. Like, I think Enda McGinley used the point that it's like throwing a deck of cards up in the air and seeing where they land when it comes to the matchups. And I think there's a certain element that's kind of the same when it comes to the team selection, and certainly the positional selections tomorrow. It's a fascinating sort of under a mysterious cloak sort of All-Ireland final, and it's not something I think we've experienced in recent memory.
Yeah, the team naming is going to be absolutely fascinating, and I think that, like,
also pointless.
Yeah, and like Canavan, Darragh Canavan looks like he's literally been born. Like watching him the last day to play on that stage, you look at him and just think, how the hell could you leave this guy out? But look at it, they have options, and it means that they have depth.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
To further build up to the match of the weekend, and we've been painting the greater cultural context with Owen, who's up in Tyrone, and earlier caught up with Enda McGinley and Declan Bogue as well, and talking about how the county splits. And it's always a common theme when it comes to any of the Ulster teams playing in the Ulster final. And here on that tone is another piece for you. In February 1988, Aidan McInnespy was killed at a checkpoint in Auchnacloy in County Tyrone moments after crossing the border on his way to play for Aghaloo in a GAA match. And outside the Aghaloo club today, there's a monument dedicated to Aidan McInnespy, and Aidan's friend, Mickey Muldoon, met Owen there yesterday.
To me personally, Aidan was a very close friend of myself. I knew Aidan throughout the years, and the McInnespy family, a very close family, and we all recognised, we thought it was only appropriate that there was something erected for Aidan's memory, that throughout the whole of Ireland and the world at this stage recognised Aidan, and clubs throughout Ireland all recognised Aidan's monument. And as you see, it's decorated here for the All-Ireland, which every year is decorated, no matter who's in it. We had Limerick and Cork just passed there in the Hurling. So we make no difference to anybody. We have Donegal, we have Kerry, Tipperary. We have flags sent from all different counties, and they all appreciate acknowledge the fact that Aidan's monument, that their counties is recognised, and their clubs also, with county clubs, especially our local clubs here that might be in county finals, they are all recognised also. I think everybody knows Aidan's story now, and what really did happen, we know we're not going to hear the truth from the British side of it, but I think that the Irish people and people throughout the world know and are well used to the lies that have been told. What we see about Aidan's name being kept alive, it's not only Aidan alone, but we also had two other members of this club murdered also. And there's a lot of clubs throughout the north especially had been killed and murdered by security forces or loyalist forces. And it's also to recognise for justice Aidan's case, trying to get justice for Aidan's case, is also trying to get justice for everybody else in similar circumstances. And I mean, nobody ever wants to see this back again, and we don't think it will come back, troubles. So people want to move forward. And I say now, the club here itself is a great club going now. And just yesterday evening, we're out here yesterday evening decorating here. And the amount of young people that's out here playing football, children, and from knee high, from I'd say 8 year old, it's so unbelievable. I mean, we hadn't got that in our time. In 1986, Tyrone were playing Kerry in the All-Ireland, and me and Aidan, God rest Aidan, we went to Croke Park, and this is the caps that we had worn in 86 to the All-Ireland. And whenever we came home, we had got beat, as everybody knows. Kerry were up to half-time. We are well ahead, but second half, Kerry stuffed us. I suppose Pats Ballon probably himself nearly stuffed us. But anyhow, on the return journey home here, the checkpoint was just down the road where Aidan was murdered from. And on arriving at the checkpoint, there was an old shed. Now, it was old checkpoint at the time. before they built the large one. Aidan was told to pull into the shed, which we did, and the soldiers proceeded to search the vehicle, and the usual old harassment and crap that was going on. And I had the Tyrone flag with me, and I took the Tyrone flag out and I stuck it up on the side of the shed. And the soldier says, "What are you at, mate? What are you at?" He says, "You didn't carry kick your asses, didn't carry kick your asses." Now, and they were even effing and blinding. It wasn't just as nice as "didn't they kick your asses." But anyhow, basically, I says, "Yeah, so they did." And he says, "Well, why are you putting that up, mate? What's that all about?" And I says, "Look, I says, Tyrone will be back. I says, we'll be back." And the soldier didn't know what to make of this. And my words come through. We did come back, and we've won 3 All-Ireland since that. And now we're back in another one. And hopefully we'll have a 4th one. A lot of people leave wee things. That's like an angel's... That we have had things from all counties left here, like we memorials, we things. There was no time ago, there was a Limerick whore, wee whore, but they do get lost, unfortunately, but people leave wee tributes and things to their counties and clubs, and which McInnesbys do appreciate, and at times I would give some of them over to the McInnesbys, or they may collect them themselves, of course. They do get lost, unfortunately, at times. So, it's wee things like that, it seems to mean a lot to the McInnesbys too. We have all nationalities now playing across the divide, religious divide. It makes no difference. They're all accepted to play for the clubs, and that's the way we want it going forward. And I think that's the way, eventually, to unite everybody.
Wise words there from Mickey Muldoon in conversation with Owen yesterday, following the murder of his friend Aidan McInnesby. And it should be pointed out as well that former soldier, he will stand trial for it. It looks as though this month at Belfast Crown Court, the unlawful killing of Aidan McInnesby, February 21st, 1988, and the former grenadier was talking about how it was an accident at the time. And as I said, that case will come before the courts. You can check out all of Owen's chats. He's been doing a lot of build up to the game culturally and on the football side as well. They'll all be available up on our YouTube channel over the course of today. So very much recommend that you head along and check those out.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.